Praise God. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are we all ain't here yet? I've been waiting on you for about an hour now and you've not got here yet. When are you going to get here? Somebody ought to shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, we're about to get here. That's more like it. That's what the house of God is for, to bring our glory and our honor to the Lord. Amen. Not that we have a whole lot. It's just the fact that what we are by the grace of God.
Right.
Now get an amen there.
Amen.
Take Jesus out of my life, you find a nothing underneath it all.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Did you ever see a package? My stepfather used to have the greatest fun out of Christmas because he would get several boxes and he would start off with a little present about yay big. He'd put it in a box, and then he'd put it in another box, and then he'd put it in another box, and then he'd put it in another box. And Christmas time, little boy's eyes got this about this big because, boy, a big box.
Yeah.
What in the world have they got me?
Yeah.
And you keep on opening up, and it comes down maybe sometimes to a candy bar, you know. But better a candy bar than nothing, right? So we just sometimes don't understand that you take all the glitter and all the glare, all the glamour away from us, and we are still, without Him, we're nothing.
Right.
So I'm going to shout while I can.
Yeah.
Because He took nothing and made something out of it.
Right.
When I seen Brother Mitchell Hasty get up here and like he did last night and sing, I look back and I think, Valley Street. I look at Henry come whizzing by here, and I thought, there goes Valley Street.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. I just remember where we come from.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
He found me on the junk heap of life.
Yeah.
I was on my way to being a mess.
Oh, God.
If I wasn't already a mess, I was on my way to really qualifying to have a messed up life.
Yeah.
But just in time, Jesus came and took a messed up young man and straightened him up. And I owe him a debt I can never repay. And you know, from that day when he saved me to this day, he has never one time sent me a bill for anything he's done. And he does almost everything for me without charge. Amen? Oh, I wish you'd have church with me tonight. I wanted so much to see someone pray this morning. I had so many people here, so many people, children that are so far out of touch with God, whose moms come faithfully here. And you wonder, what's it going to take, Lord? What's it going to take for them to realize this is what they really need? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Well, that's enough talk. The quicker I get to preaching, the quicker you get to go where you're going, right? Brother Thomas said, I make some people happy. Some people are happy when they see me come. Some people are happy when they see me go. So I cover the whole base that way. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Yeah, but say amen.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to read one verse and try to preach to you if God will help me. I have, for all you that keep score, I have been here before, and probably before I die, I'll come back again.
Whoa.
You know, I do not get aggravated with my wife when she uses the same recipe.
Right. Right.
And I do not get aggravated with you when you sang the same song.
Right.
So, come on with me tonight. Verse 6. And David was greatly distressed. It takes a word musician, a word artist to understand just what David was going through. And David was greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him. Now that was on top of David losing his two wives. And now he looks around and there's 600 angry men. And they were looking at him, talking among themselves. And talking very seriously about just stoning David. The blame has to fall on somebody. How many know that? A man just naturally feels better about it if he's got someone to blame. Whether he's guilty or not. Someone to blame. So David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the souls of all the people was grieved. That's the Hebrew word, just simply means bitter. Bitterness had taken over them because they looked and their wives were gone, their children was gone. Everything that life had been accumulated was now lost. They stood in the ashes of loss. And that's a sore place to stand when you've lost it all. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, listen to the rest of it. Every man for his sons, every man for his daughters, every man for his sons, every man for his daughters. Consider your family gone. And it was a grieving bitterness that was in the hearts of these men. You have to see it. This little town of Ziklag contained, we know, 600 men plus their families. If every man had a wife, which we don't know that they do, you automatically come up with 1,200 people. If they had a daughter or a son, or daughters and sons, you see that the small little town all of a sudden becomes a significant little town. It comes up to 2,000 or so people that David was responsible for he was their leader. They had been off in skirmishes. And now they've come back to find out that the enemy had come in and took everything. All they could see was burned out. The whole town of Ziklag was leveled with fire. They looked for bodies, but there was none. And sometimes a man can cope with death better than he can cope with somebody mistreating his family. David was greatly distressed. Would they make slaves of him? Had they used their women? Had they mistreated their daughters? What have they done to their sons? They are our enemies. What have they done? Now David has no sign at all of what happened, except they had come, they had destroyed his home, they had taken his wives, and every man felt the sense of loss. And this is where you come with the text. Here it is. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Can you say that with me, church? But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Amen. This is a test of real, real salvation.
Right.
It's not the sunshine that causes us to err. It's when pressures of life come with unanswers. No answer to why. Why? Why? David could have said, but I've served you from my youth. But he doesn't. David could have said, I'm a fugitive, but I have fled to you for refuge, and now look. But he didn't. It's a wonderful man who has a great heart, who can't blame God when things go in reverse. We will either look up and say, where is God? Or we'll look around as these men did and say, you're to blame. Either way, my friend, bitterness will come. Amen. Now, look with me, if you will, at this and ask yourself the question, what God really means to us is written in large letters in David's life. David looked around at the total loss of everything, and then he looked to God. The men looked around at the total loss of everything and then looked at with bitterness in their eyes and in their language, and looked square at David and spake of stoning him. You will blame somebody. But are they really to blame? You see, if we're not careful, we'll get to that place, and we don't want to do that. We don't want to run on speculation. We don't want to run on argument. We don't want to run on debate. We want to find something that is above and beyond all of the things that cause us to misread what we see. And it's easy to misread what you see.
Amen.
Yes, amen. You see, there is two views of this. First, if you take one view of it, yes, you've lost everything. But the second view is, why isn't somebody dead? Why didn't somebody die? Where is the bodies? And there is none. So I read in that, God had mercy on David in that he spared his family, and God had mercy upon them because they allowed them to be captured without the shedding of blood. Not one son, not one daughter, not one wife. Nothing was taken. No lives. That's mercy. But the bitterness in the hearts of those men could not let them see the mercies of God. But David began to seek for the reason, and the first thing he does is look to God. He begins to try to understand it from God's perspective. Can God make this work out to good? Can God find a solution to this problem? And David began to encourage himself. When you can't find anybody that understands, look up. When nobody's got a word of explanation, look up. When you can't figure it out for yourself, look up. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
This is not one of those stories that you read and just understand automatically. God is in this. God is in this. There is a purpose for this. There is a purpose that God has for this. And sometimes we forget that everything that comes to a child of God must first go through God before it comes to them. If God doesn't permit it, it won't be done. You see, before the devil could hassle Job, he had to get permission from Job's God. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Oh, he looked at him. As old brother Wilson used to say, Rolly Wilson used to say, the devil don't have nothing on me but his eyes. I laughed at him the first time I met him, and he wanted to get acquainted with me. I laughed at him. He said, you know, preacher, he said, the devil don't have nothing on me but his eyes. And he said, I can whoop the devil in less ground than it takes for me to drop my hat, and less time too. I never heard somebody so bold in all my life as he was when he's talking about the devil. The devil I knew, you sort of tiptoed around, but not Brother Rowley. He said, you don't have nothing on me. He said, preacher, look at this house. Search it out. Go ahead. You ain't no place in here for the devil to hide. Don't you like that? Well, you can sure encourage yourself in the Lord when you live that kind of a life. Amen. So David was different than the 600 men that he led. David suffered the same loss. David felt the same grieving, nagging pain. But he looked for an answer, and when he did, He understood that all of a sudden there's no bodies, there's no blood, no one was wounded, nobody's hurt. They came, they took them, and they're gone. But they burnt the city once they got their hostages out and had looted the place. They burned it. So he is standing in the ashes of Ziklag, and now he looks to God. And there's a time, my friend, when we must learn to look over what we're standing in, to look to who we're standing with. Sometimes we stand in perilous places. Can anybody give me some help tonight? We stand in perilous places that we can't always understand. I'm amazed that Brother Hoskins just went through the suffering of watching his wife battle cancer. I think that would be enough for one man in a lifetime, myself. But then just a few days have flown over his head, and now he faces the same battle. Is God wrong? Does God misread us? Does God not care? I tell you, sometimes we stand in the ashes of life, and we must learn to look through them and over them to find God. Right. You see, the God of your yesterday is the God of your tomorrow. Right. Your today may be awful confused, but the God that brought you this far until this day can take over and make your yesterdays perform his will. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
There it is, my friend. You've been there. I've been there. We all know what suffering is, and nobody likes it, nobody wants it, and everybody wishes it would go away. But it won't go away, not all the time.
Right.
I'm not telling you're going to suffer every day of your life, though I know people who have. Sister Carpenter, little Tanya, she fixed me a needlepoint. Her spine is separated, and she lives in pain. But she fixed me a little needlepoint when I used to go out there and preach, and just a little old thing. All it is a preacher behind a pulpit and a little church mouse. And down there she needled in the words, "Preach anyway. Preach anyway." So there is times when we must remember that we got to shout hallelujah anyhow. We've got to see enough of God in our life to say he can handle this. Come on, somebody say, he can handle this. I can't handle this. You can't handle this. He can handle this. But I must force myself to look up. That's why the psalmist said, "I will lift mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help?" My help. He didn't say our help. He said my help. Amen? My help cometh from the Lord. There's a time when you got to look over what you're looking at in order to find God. You can't find him sometimes in suffering. The word is, "Why, Lord? Why me? Why now? I'm young. I don't want to die. I don't want to leave my family." We all ask those questions. Fear will come. Fear has come. We've all faced it. But we also know that behind every mountain, there's a mountain moving God. Behind every valley we must go through is a God whose rod and staff will comfort us. No matter where we go or what we go through, God is promising to be there with you. Now, when we must come up with some help, I would advise you in the day that we live, I know that you will call 911, and I know you will seek the help of a surgeon or a physician. I know you will look for every way to help yourself. But what about when it comes time and you hear those words, "Nothing else I can do." And you go to the next one, he said, "Nothing else I can do." And when you go to the third and the fourth, and they say, "Nothing else I can do." And then it's just you and your problem. Will we then begin to lift our eyes? Will it take that to make us look for something that will not move? Hallelujah. How many knows our God is an immovable God? Nothing moves him out of his throne. Hallelujah. Nothing can make him bow his head in dismay. God is still on the throne. I said God is still on the throne. And if you want help, he is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. If you're looking for a quick fix, he may not come when you want him. But I'll tell you this, if you can find him, he is everything he says he is. And to find him, you got to look for him. David encouraged himself. He was surrounded by 600 men. Those men were talking about stoning him. But David says the first thing, go get the priest and tell him to bring the ephod. And he brought it and spread it out, and those stones were there. And all of a sudden, David asked just one question of God. For verse 8 said, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, oh, hallelujah. You see how quick when you turn your eyes the right way that an answer comes? When you lift your eyes off of your loss, when you lift your eyes off of your pain, when you lift your eyes off of the confusion that's going on around you, and you lift your eyes and you look for an answer. David inquired of the Lord. He was seeking courage. He was seeking something. Give me some guidance, God. Give me some direction, God. I want to do something about this, God. Is there anything I can do about this, God? Shall I pursue them? And the Lord answered him immediately. You see, shall I overtake them? And the Lord answered him immediately. I tell you what, when you set your heart to find him, he's not hard to find. When you set your mind, you're going to trust him. He found out you will trust him. He will speak to you immediately. It's not a long time thing. Our God don't need a month to come up with an answer. Don't let me research this. Let me figure this out now. Let me look it over, and then I'll get back with you. That's the way a doctor will do. That's the way a lawyer will do. That's the way your friends will do. They don't have immediate answer. God does. And the God that I serve has an answer that never fails. I said the God I serve has an answer that never fails. When God speaks to you, you can stand on it. When God speaks to you, you can trust him. When God talks to you, know you've been talked to by somebody who will never let you down. So David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Amen. And there it is. This again, coming to what? Coming to the place where you hurt so bad that you can't even explain the hurt. The loss is sent so deeply that you don't even know how to explain it to somebody. But David doesn't even try to explain it to God. He just asks the question, shall I pursue? And shall I overtake? Amen. And God answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Woo! Sounds like an answer that would encourage your heart. Can I get an answer? Amen. Sounds like an answer that would encourage your heart. Let's get up and run a while, boys. We're on the pursuit, and we're going to get them all back. I can tell you what, 600 men got their eyes off of David and all of a sudden began to look for another enemy. I said 600 men fell in line behind David and they started pursuing. They didn't know anything. They had no answers. But now David, because he encouraged himself in the Lord, came up with an answer. David's got an answer. David's got an answer from God. God may not speak to me, but he spoke to David. I may not see what David sees, but I know that I've trusted David before, and I'm going to run out after David. I'm going to let David lead the charge, and I'm going to go and help God and fight this battle for God. And there's sometimes, my friend, when God is waiting to see which side you'll take, whether you'll let fear and doubt push you to the sideline, or whether you'll let faith make a conqueror out of you. Oh, you can't fight a battle that you're never involved in. But all of a sudden, these men had a battle they could fight. Now they have an enemy, common enemy. And they go and pursue. Amen. They come to a river. 200 of them are so weak that they can't go on. David says, you stay here, you'll just slow us down. You stay right here, we'll be right back. Oh, I like David. David's a guy that said, you know, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall, but my God. He said he was the one that said, 1,000 men, what's that? Amen. An army? Who cares? Bring them on. You see, that's the kind of faith that a person needs in a crisis. Too many of us fall apart. I mean, we fall apart. We fall apart. We lose our song. We lose our peace. We lose our prayer. We lose everything. We just keep on saying, I can't pray. I can't pray. I just can't pray. Oh, yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. And you see, David just had a short prayer, but it got a mighty answer.
Right.
Shall I pursue?
Come on. Come on.
Shall I overtake?
Right. Come on.
And the word of the Lord came, pursue. You will overtake them,
right,
and you will recover all.
Right.
Oh, that's all we need. Sometimes it's just a shadow to fall on us. Sometimes we just need the shadow of the Almighty just to overshadow us for a little while. We just need somebody to encourage our heart. We just need something to give us the ability to go on. Amen. How long is it going to take before everything's back to normal? It'll never be back to normal. Those children that were captured will always remember being captured, but they'll also remember the day that David and his mighty men came into that camp and set them free. Oh, glory to God. There's some things I'll never forget. There's some things in my past I wish I could forget, but I'll remember the night when Jesus came, set my captive spirit free. Come on, somebody shout amen. We just need to understand there is a hope and a help in God.
Right.
Don't put your trust in man. It's like leaning on a bruised reed. It's going to go through your hand.
Right.
Somebody's going to hurt you. You're going to get hurt. Somebody's going to talk about you. They're going to say something about you. Your character is going to be smirched. And amen, you're going to get dirt slung at you. You're going to get mud all over you.
Yeah.
But just remember, Jesus can give you a bath. I said, Jesus can give you a bath, and He can restore to you all that you lost. Oh, come on, somebody ought to be helping me preach. You see, here it is, David encouraged himself. He could not give the job to a singer. They didn't feel like singing. He could not get it back in a dance. Ain't nobody wanting to dance in the ashes of your loss. Amen. But David found a song in his heart. He remembered that he said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Hallelujah. And from that, David straightened up and said, let's pursue. Didn't he not overtake them? I said, did he not overtake them? Oh, I like this Bible because it gives you an accurate record. They found an Egyptian. He told them where to find him after the battle was over. This is what the Bible says in verse 19. David recovered all. And then I remember reading there when it says, and without fail, recover all. Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah.
With God in the picture, everything's beginning to seem brighter. The fog is beginning to lift. The obscuring doubt is beginning to be blown away by the strong affection of God. David recovered all. Not only that, David got spoiled. Well, let me tell you what spoil is. You know what spoil is? That's like when you play marbles, amen, and you win everybody else's marbles and you walk away with a bag bigger and fuller than what you went to the game with. That's called spoils. Winner takes all. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So David not only got back everything that he lost, but he got back everything they had. And now David sees God even more. For not only are these men going to be rewarded, but David gets the spoil. Then they come back to the 200 men. And the first thing those carnal men want to do is say, you didn't go, you don't get. And David said, not so, brethren. Ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hands. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. Verse 25 tells you what God was wanting to do from the beginning. Why God allowed not the Malachis to destroy not one. Why every child was saved. Why every wife was saved. Why everything worked out good. And it was so from that day forward that he made a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. All of a sudden, we see God who says, he that fights the battle and he that stays by the stuff, they divide the same. Amen. When Brother Todd and Brother Nathan spend the afternoon down in the church basement and they're praying, they're seeking God and crying and sweating and just getting in there, and then Sunday night comes and the old pastor gets up and preaches with the anointing of God. I didn't fight that battle, but I got half of the stuff. Oh, come on now. You all know that law, don't you? Not everybody even prays on Sunday anymore. Not everybody even prepares their heart to come to church on Sunday anymore. Some folks do laundry. Some folks go shopping. Some folks do a lot of things on Sunday. Shame on you. Oh, touchy, touchy. Can you imagine being touchy about that? You forgave me yet? I want to give you time to forgive me, because you ain't going to help me preach if you don't forgive me. But if you don't forgive me, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. You see, it is a fact that we share. We must share. When somebody's down, we've got to learn to carry the burden for them. When somebody's sick, we must feel for them. In our prayers, we cannot just say, Lord, help him. We must feel for them. We must understand the fear that they're going through. Oh, somebody's dropped out on me, didn't you? I'm talking to you about a church that's going to help his pastor have church here. I'm going to talk to you about our prayer life. I want to talk to you about our comradeship. I want to talk to you about our brotherly involvement. I want to talk to you about sharing one another's grief. When one suffer, we all suffer. When one is under a burden, we should try every way to alleviate that burden. There's a law that David said right here. Now, boys, this is not right. You're all wrong. Nobody's going to agree with you on this matter. These men have fought side by side with you. They just become weak. There's times when we will be overtaken by weakness. We will not be able to keep pace with those in front. Oh, you're not helping me preach. We'll not be able to keep pace with those in front. We'll feel like dropping out. He could have lost all of these men in that battle. If they had got there and not been able to fight, he would have lost 200 men. It's better to put these weak brethren and let them rest a while. Amen. Than it is to put them in a conflict where you'll lose them. And there's times, my friend, that you need to understand. Just because you sit next to somebody and they don't have a smile on their face. And because you sit next to somebody and they don't jump up when you jump up. Or dance when you dance. Or run when you run. Does not mean that they have lost their value to God. But it means that they are weary with the battle. And they need to come aside and rest. Let us fight the battle on. We will be back, my brother. We will be back to pick you up. We will be back to stand by you again. We will be back from this battle. And when we are, and when the battle's over, we'll shout together again. Do you think that these men who lost their wives that stayed by the river didn't rejoice the same as those brethren who had their wives now in their care and their children back in their care and were walking back towards their new life? Yes, when these men that stayed by the river saw their wives and their children coming again, don't you think their heart leaped within them and they were glad to see that they had been rescued? Come on, my brother, our vision sometimes is so dim. Sometimes we are so uncaring. The love of Christ does not abide in us. We do not give another brother a fair shake. Just because they're down and you're up does not mean they're backslid and you are sanctified. There's times when you've got to understand, all of us go through the valley. All of us must climb up the rough side of the mountain. Your day may be sunshine and I may be walking in a storm, but I'll tell you, after a while the storm will pass. Amen. It'll be my day in the sunshine and it may come over you. But if we love one another, I said if we love one another, we'll uphold one another. If we love one another, we'll forgive one another. If we love one another, love will hide a multitude of sin. If we love one another, we will care when somebody hurts. When we love one another, we'll cry when they cry, we'll weep when they weep, we'll mourn when they mourn. If we love one another, our whole is not just me and mine, it's ours. Hallelujah! I'm in this kingdom. Glory be to God, you're in this kingdom. At the cross, there's no big eyes and little U's. Right now, I'm a preacher. But when I get to heaven, I don't know what I will be. But you'll be there, and I don't know what you'll be. But I know that in God's good government, He's got a place for all of us. And in that great city, there'll be nobody little and be nobody big. There'll be no big names and little names. Hallelujah. We'll sit down with Abraham. That's what the Bible says. We'll sit down with Isaac. We'll sit down with Jacob. Hallelujah. They'll sit down with us. Glory to God. Me sitting with Abraham at a table? Oh, yeah. Me talking to Jacob about how I made it through? Oh, yeah. I've got a story. I'm one of God's children. Did you have pain? I know what that's like. Did you have disappointment? I've been there. Did you know there's battles in life? I fought them. Oh, hallelujah. I said, oh, hallelujah. Thank God. There's a God that we can look to. There's a God that we can find. And there's a God that will answer us. Come on. I almost feel like a preacher. He said, Brother Benny, that's not my story. There was a time when I was so tough. Forgive me. Some of the time when I was so tough, I'd spent 3 years with some of the toughest men I ever met in my life. I'd come out of there with a mental attitude that wasn't right. But I got saved, but my attitude still wasn't right. I had no mercy. I said, if you're going to be a soldier, straighten up. I expected them. Straighten up. My voice was keen and it was hard. And I was in the pulpit. Sometimes I'd shout at him and he'd flinch almost at my tone of my voice. And then the Lord came and said, I'll give you a shepherd's heart. Oh, man. What a valley. I didn't know I could live through that one or not. But when I came out on the other side, I weep now. My voice is completely different. Do I tolerate sin? No. Do I condone worldliness? No. Amen. But I'm all for helping you carry that burden. And I'm all for helping you fight that battle till you come out a victor. I'm not for throwing you away so quickly now. I'm willing to cry with you. I'm willing to pray with you. I'm willing to feel your pain and tell Jesus, I know how he feels, Lord. Have mercy on him. I know what he's going through, Lord. Have mercy on him. And if there ever was a time, as the time runs out on us, that we must come back to this Christ-likeness. Do you know how many rejects Jesus found? He found a woman taken in the very act of adultery. He would have been absolutely applauded by those men if he would have said, stone her. But he didn't. He simply asked them, you that are without sin, you cast the first stone. And when the eldest began to drop the rocks, the younger ones lost their fire until they all turned away. And there she was with Jesus alone. And Jesus looked down at her and said, neither do I condemn thee. Oh, God, what a Savior. Sin all over me, caught in the very act. Sinner I am. I cannot hide it. I was caught. There she was. Neither do I condemn thee. Just one thing I want you to do with your life. Go. Sin no more. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can you look over somebody's fault? Can you look over somebody's sin? Can you give them a second chance? Can you give them a second chance? Are you willing to give them a second chance? Can you afford to give them a second chance? And I tell you, my precious people, there's no other room in the house than that one which is full of mercy that will pay dividends. For blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain. Help me preach. Mercy, mercy, God, mercy. I need it today. I'll need it tomorrow. I'll need it when I'm 70. I'll need it. I don't know how long I'm going to need it, Lord, but I do know I need mercy. See him sitting there at the fire, handing fish to Peter. See him? He caught the fish out of that sea where they had no luck. He built the fire. He cooked the breakfast. Come and dine. Hands the fish to Peter and said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Do you notice in that, that he never says, Peter, you denied me. Peter, you let me down. Peter, you embarrassed me. Peter, you cussed. Peter, you failed. No, he just simply says, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Some say that Jesus was talking about the disciples. I tell you, no. God never pits one of us against the other.
Right.
God never asks you, do you love me as much as Brother Mayberry loves me? God does not ask me, do you love me as much as Danny Tussie loves me? When he said these, he said, Peter, you gave up that boat. You gave up that net. You gave up that equipment. And the first time you get disappointed, you go and get it out of hock. You're back in the boat. You're back in the sea. You're back with your nets. Lovest thou me more than this? What you thought was a defeat was merely another act of God. Yes, I died. Yes, I was beaten. Yes, I was crucified. But I'm alive now, Peter. You see, if you hadn't have got in that boat, I wouldn't have to ask you the question, lovest thou me more than these? What do you go to when life disappoints you? Where do you run? I hope it's to Jesus. I hope you take time as David did and look over your burned out zig leg and lift your eyes until you find God and encourage yourself enough to ask him, shall I pursue? That just simply means, shall I go on? Shall I pursue? Shall I go on? This is what I do, Lord. Shall I pursue? Pursue. Shall I overtake? You surely will. And you'll recover all. And I'll tell you in closing, I feel the Holy Ghost. Here life's going to give you setbacks. Here life's going to disappoint you. Here friends are going to forsake you. Here loved ones are going to leave you. But after a while, if we'll just pursue on, we're going to recover it all. You see, death has taken my dad, my mom, my grandpa, my grandma, my baby. It's taken my friends. death has just took member after member out of this church. If I've had to eat tears one time, I've eaten them at a bunch of times when I preached these funerals. I said, God, I can't replace them. They're irreplaceable. They don't make them like this anymore, Lord. Where am I going to find them at? And then God brings somebody else. And I say, thank you, Lord. But I know a secret, and it's really no secret. One day I'll recover all. Every friend that I've sent to that better country is waiting for me. All of my kindred is waiting for me. My baby is waiting for me. And I tell you, I'm looking forward to recovering it all. How many can raise one hand and say, Lord, help me to pursue until I recover all. Oh, come on now, raise your hands and ask him. Lord, don't let me get weak. Don't let me get afraid. Don't let me stop. Help me to continue on. Help me to go on and on until I see what the end's going to be. And at that day, at that great day, when the dead in Christ shall rise. Sister Edith, the other day, I got the letter out that Sandy wrote me before she died. I looked at it. I couldn't understand it. I didn't understand it. Even though she wrote it to me before she died and explained to me that she felt like it wasn't going to be long until she was going to be gone. She wrote such an encouraging letter to her pastor. I want to find her one day and tell her, Sandy, I'm glad that you encouraged yourself in the Lord. Because your pastor was in a daze. He didn't know what to think when that report came. One day we'll recover it all. I said, one day we'll recover it all. One day, one happy day, we'll recover it all.
That's right.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Will you stand with me? I don't apologize for my preaching. The text was okay and great. I do apologize for my delivery. I wish it had been better. David encouraged himself. I know I've got disappointed people. Disappointed children. Sometimes even disappointed in their marriage. Sometimes disappointed with God because he left us all alone. But I want to tell you, he done it for your good. All things work together for good. How many believe me? All things. It's hard for Rachel to get that. Because she battles every day. It's hard for her to get that all things work together for good. It's hard to do that. And I understand it. I do not get put out with Rachel because she battles with that. I love her. My prayer is, God, you can heal Rachel. You will heal Rachel. You will have your way in her life. Sometimes we forget that gold has to be melted before all impurities are turned loose. Before you can be pure, you got to pass through the fire. And that fire is not easy. But you can come out on the other side pure. The things you battle, the things you fight with, the things that you cannot seem to do anything with, on the other side of the trial, gold. The trying of your faith is more precious than gold. Oh, hallelujah. I don't want to drag this on. Amen? How many can say amen?
Amen.
Remember that. You heard this preaching first at Dryden Road. Amen. First at Dryden Road. So that tomorrow when the battles fall, you can remember God got there first. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Sister Tiffany's on her way up here to sing. with my brother Andrew. They're going to sing, I'm going to get it back. If you believe the song, I want you to come around these altars and ask God, shall I pursue? Shall I overtake? That ministry, shall I pursue? Shall I overtake? My future, shall I pursue? Shall I overtake? Can I get it back, Lord? Can I get back the fire that I once time had? Can I get back that anointing that I one time had? Can I get back the zeal that I one time had? And the answer is, pursue. You will overtake. And you shall recover all. Oh, come on, church. Say amen. They're singing, the Holy Ghost is here. The help of God is available. And I ask you to step out. Come to Jesus. Come tell Him all. Come tell Him. He understands.